Welcome back in, everyone, to a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have such a great show in store for you today. We're so excited that this group is returning to New York, but also returning onto our show. And we are so excited to be welcoming back the producer making this happen. Of course, I'm speaking about Dan Karkoska. We had such a great time speaking with him last year about this group. And we are speaking, of course, about the Coquettes Nouveau, and they're starring in Dirt, Sex, and Passion. And it's happening two shows only, Sunday, October 6th at 6 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. at Joe's Pub. Tickets and more information are available at publictheater.org. And I have to say, tickets are available while they last. This is such a fantastic group, such a well-known group with a brilliant following. And we can't wait to bring you more information about this new vehicle that they've got. So let's not waste any more time. Let's welcome in our guest, Dan. So good to see Hello. You. Welcome back to Whisper in the
Wings. Thank you. I'm so glad to be back.
I'm so happy you're here. And you're bringing us, once again, the legendary Coquettes with the new show, Dirt, Sex, Passion. Can you start by telling us a little bit about not only the show, but the Coquettes themselves, for anyone who doesn't know about them?
Well, yes. I mean, the Coquettes got their start in the late 60s. As a matter of fact, the Summer of Love, that's when they first, the original Coquettes, the OG, if you want to go with that. And they started on on New Year's Eve at the Palace Theater in North Beach. It was a theater that showed kind of cult films, and they had these midnight showings, and they talked the owner, Sebastian, into letting them go on and do this high kick and this little light drag show thing at midnight to celebrate. And that was the beginning. It went well, and then they just started doing their own thing. They were led by this one individual named Hibiscus, who was obsessed with 1930s Busby Berkeley musicals and all that Hollywood glamour. And so the Coquettes would make their own kind of hybrid shows. I mean, you saw the same kind of thing in the 90s where people were doing Brady Bunch type, you know, spoofs or Scooby-Doo Gang or the Poseidon Adventure type stuff like that. Well, that's what they were doing, but they're doing with the 1930s movies, the Joan Crawford movies, all the movies they saw growing up as kids. And so they created these crazy homages with these wonderfully written songs. And then, of course, basically they were a bunch of hippies doing lots of drugs, having lots of sex. They pretty much were doing gender bending before gender bending was even a concept. Glitter beards came from the Coquettes. Before the Coquettes, drag was female impersonation. It was looking like a lady. How close can you look? And the Coquettes just threw it all in the blender and kind of created the concept of gender fuck. And so that's kind of where they came from. They had lots of shows. They, you know, of course, legendarily, a lot of celebrities started seeing them and they got popular. John Waters and Divine came over and were in lots of the shows. Mink Stole, lots of that crew from the East Coast came over to the West Coast to be with the hippies and, you know, just get into this happening, so to speak. And that lasted about 3 or 4 years near that end. They came to New York. Rex Reed saw them in San Francisco and raved about them to New York. All the hoi polloi. Oh my gosh, you have to see the Coquettes. They're the newest thing in theater. And basically what happened was the Coquettes showed up, partied really hard, and flopped hard the opening night, really hard, in front of like all these famous celebrities and, you know, people in the know in New York. And it was kind of like a giant resounding flop. I was told Scrumbly, of course, the person who is in our show, still going at it after all these years, he said that basically, you know, they just showed up and partied too hard, but that they got their shit together and they finished their run. But yeah, it was a legendary flop of giant proportions, especially in the New York world. And so that was what we came back on. You know, of course, last year was we were going to make up for that. And we did with a totally sold out show at Joe's Pub, and people freaked out during the show. It was a pleasure to watch from the back. So, but you know, the Coquettes only lasted 3 or 4 years. Those kind of things usually do. And they all went and did their own things. The Sylvester, who was a Coquette, went on to do disco and became like a legendary disco person, queen. And then you had Scrumbly, who kept on doing different. He was in a group called the Jesters and this, that, and the other. And then around 2002, the documentary came out, which basically focused on the Coquettes and brought them back into the fray. And then Russell Blackwood with the Thrill Peddlers here in San Francisco met Scrumbly and was a major fanboy and like totally fanboyed off on Scrumbly. And that led to them resurrecting Pearls of Shanghai here in San Francisco. It was a giant, giant, giant hit here. And that just led to more revivals. And then gentrification led to them losing their space, and that led to me. And I was doing shows with this other person who was associated with that era, Bambi Lake. And then we just started combining the shows since there were thrill peddlers and cockettes who needed to perform and needed to be on stage. And then that led to the 50th anniversary show. And then that led to where I am now. So that's kind of like in a nutshell, that's kind of like the cockettes.
I love that. What a story about a fantastic group. Let's talk about this upcoming show, Dirt, Sex, and Passion.
Tell me
a little bit about this, because you said it's a new vehicle for this group. So what can we expect? What's new about it?
Basically, what we did was we went through what we've been doing is we've been taking the music out of the old musicals. Some of them have not aged as well as others. And we wanted and the thing is, within all those songs, there were like these amazing little nuggets we wanted to bring out. And so that's why we brought them to the, because in my opinion, a lot of the stories Scrumbly wrote, Irving Berlin could have written, or any of the other people of that era who were probably, you know, gay and kind of wrote coded. And Scrumbly and his associates, they were gay and they let it out. And the lyrics are much more overt. So anyway, we are bringing these shows back together and creating musical reviews. I think that was my point, and I got lost on that. And so anyway, we had done several shows using a lot, and we decided this time to like kind of do a deep dive and go in and find some stuff that had not been done before. We kept a lot of our favorite songs and the ones that were the super classics. We kept all of those. And then we just went through and did a deep dive and brought in a lot of different kinds of music. So people will see, if they've even seen several older shows, they'll see, like, again, they'll see some of the few songs they really want to see, like Crab on Uranus, which is like, we can't take that one out because everybody loves that one. But there'll be other ones that we brought on, including some of the performers' numbers. We're bringing two new performers in, Erica Richardson and Carl Linkhart. Carl Linkhart was part of the Angels of Light, which was a spinoff of the Cockettes from the early 70s. And Carl's been doing my shows for like 15, 16 years, drag shows, any kind of show. He's a prolific writer, artist, all this kind of stuff. And he brings the weird when he performs in a really brilliant way. And he has a song that we've added, which is based on his opera of Suddenly Last Summer, which is a Tennessee Williams play that the movie version had Montgomery Clift and Katharine Hepburn. Well, he does kind of Katharine Hepburn and does this kind of like jazz riff song. It's pretty amazing. So we've just put together all this. Matt, one of our other performers, has brought in one of their songs. And so we brought a lot of interesting new aspects to it. And I think people are really, people have really been responding well to it. We even have a medley where the Cockettes take you around the world. So, you know, in 69 ways, but it'll be fun. It'll be naughty. And yeah, it's just, you know, again, celebrating the songwriting skills that came out of this group of people that were really only together, you know, 3 or 4 years. It just shows you how those things can happen sometimes. And so, yeah, that's basically a nutshell how we are putting it together and what they can expect.
I love that. See, this sounds like so much fun to me. So as you're getting ready, I mean, we are just under a month away from the show getting out here. What has it been like developing the piece and getting it up on its feet?
Well, it's rehearsal, 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 trim, 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 try a few new things. Scrumbly loves to add things. That's kind of one of his things. We can add a little number here. Oh, we can add a little something here. And so, you know, at this point, we're at the point where like the pot is full. It's a full bubble. We're doing our rehearsals and just figuring out where we want to make little cuts here and there to create that perfect 75 minute, you know, dish that's going to like be savory and humorous, biting, naughty, everything we want to have in our little like soup of performance and talent going on. So yes, we're really at a good point right now.
That is wonderful to hear. That sounds like so much fun.
It is.
So with this iconic group, with this great new show you're putting together, is there a message or thought you're hoping that audiences take away from this?
Well, one of our major things, of course, is the basically the tenet of like Free to Be You and Me, which was something I grew up on as a show, a show that I saw as a kid and was very, it reverberated with my generation big time. But it that's something that goes beyond all. But it's acceptance of everybody, acceptance of every sexuality, every preference, you know, everybody, you know, we're all pink on the inside. So why not just accept us all and accept the giant, you know, cornucopia of differences that we all can share together. But, and also really, Yeah, one of the things, you know, it's tough times these days. And some of the people who are in our cast are involved with, like, you know, political things and this, that, and the other. And, you know, we talk about it and it's like, well, why do we come and do this? Why do we come here and sing these silly songs about crabs on your anus and all these other kind of things that we sing about and everything? And it's because one of the best things you can do in the world, and one of the best things you can that can solve a lot of problems is laughter and love. And if we can spread laughter and love, and give everybody, you know, 90 minutes of just sitting back and having a good time, you know, that's almost like a therapy session in lots of ways. I feel like that. I mean, I go to a play or a musical or something like that, and it is a kind of a therapy. It whisks you away. And so that's why I know that several of the people, that's why they come. It's tough for them to like kind of like shake everything off the end of the day. But when they do, it means so much more to them and it means more to us. And that's what we're out there presenting.
I love that. That is a great sales pitch, if you will, you know, to get,
well, thank you,
because it sounds like so much fun. And that leads to my next question, which of course is, you've got the two shows only on October 6th, 6 and 8:30 p.m.
Yes.
Who are you hoping have access to the show?
You know, we have been, you know, it's interesting having to promote across the country because you don't really know, you know, you're set up everything. But as I've gone through, basically I'm focusing on, well, of course, everybody, but I really want to focus on people who have people who are in the college world, who are younger, who are coming up. I found last time when we were in New York, we had a large group of people that had come from the colleges and were really intrigued and excited about what the Cockettes' message was and what their history was. We had after our shows in New York last year, we had a screening of the 2020 show. We have a highlights, about a 75-minute reel from that, and the original Cockettes movie Sebastian directed called Trisha's Wedding. We showed those, and we were surprised. We got there, and that theater was packed with people, and a lot of it was kids of, you know, the college age kids who were really excited about what we were doing. So I hope to attract them. Also, of course, our fellow underground people in New York, because, I mean, you know, fellow undergrounders, come and see what we're doing, because this is literally popping up, bubbling up, still bubbling up from the underground of San Francisco. And then, of course, theater lovers and musical lovers, because, like I said, you know, these are songs that people who love musicals, who love standards, who go out to piano bars and hear these songs and everything. You know, when you go to those piano bars, everybody sings like the regular songs, and all of a sudden somebody sings this really witty Cole Porter song or something. It's kind of like that. It's like these really funny, witty songs that, you know. So I think, you know, we just have a lot going on, and I'm really excited about where it's going.
Second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit more, pick your brain, mm-hmm. if you will. And of course, we've had the distinct honor of having you here before. So I want to change up that first question and ask,
no, oh my gosh,
you came into the performing arts.
I think about that a lot. It was my mother and my grandmother. I was taken to lots of movies and theater as a kid growing up. And then I think about it, you know, I was always intrigued. For me, I keep thinking about this, and it was like, I've kind of thought like, oh, certain people can go to Broadway, certain people can go to LA, certain people can work on movies, certain people can work, but that's not me. I'm just going to watch movies and enjoy them. And I didn't realize, no, it can be anybody. It can be you too. And so that slowly dawned on me, but I could always tell there was like that inner Shoho just bubbling on the outside, like in high school. I didn't join drama, but I knew the drama teacher, and she would cast me into their plays, and I would have small roles and everything. I think, she knew something. And then, of course, I was always obsessed with it. But, you know, coming to San Francisco was really a lot of it, because I had all that percolating. I had everything to be a DJ, to be a party promoter, to be a producer and everything. It was all going in there. I'd worked in the film industry. I was a production coordinator. All these things I had done, but I really hadn't found my niche yet, right? Then I get to New York, I mean, not New York, but, well, kind of San Francisco. It comes to the big city where the art, you get immersed in the arts and the art people, and you start going where you're attracted. And the film industry really wasn't happening in San Francisco. And I moved into a house full of drag queens. And so I was being used as a male prop. And I was like the zombie. And I was the postal delivery guy or the Secret Service agent along in the drag show. And that just led my charm to the underground and the talent going on there. And then that led to me wanting to create my own shows. And I didn't want to dress in drag. That's not my bag. So I decided to be a DJ and get drag queens to host, and I'd produce. And that led to this, that, and the other. And I got involved with this group called Under the Golden Gate, where we interviewed people for under the ground, like Entertainment Tonight kind of thing, but for San Francisco. We did over 1,000 videos in over 5 years. And, you know, I've created game shows and talk shows and blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden I got this opportunity to, you know, I was doing drag shows, hosting drag shows, everything, but there's an opportunity to produce shows for Bambi Lake, who was a Chanteuse punk rock performer, poet. And she had been falling on hard times, and it was a comeback, and that and was a giant hit. And then that just all of a sudden brought me into the world of theater, and that just hit all the buttons. And ever since then, I kind of learned in life, you kind of follow the hints or the clues life gives you, you know, the opportunities that it gives you. If you take those, you follow through where they go. And that's where it's led. And and it makes me so excited to even think that I'm now producing shows for the stage and the set and the other. Because again, as a little kid, I just thought I'd just keep watching them and enjoying them. But now that I can actually be part of them and be part of that world, it's super exciting. I love it. And we still have lots planned ahead. So it's a super exciting trip to be on.
I love that. That is an amazing journey into the performing art, into the theater. You know, that was fantastic.
Yeah. You know, the first thing I remember going to see was Pearl Bailey and Hello Dolly when I was a kid. And I think that might have like clicked something in my head, because you keep like, oh, I want to do something like that. That looks interesting.
I actually want to springboard off of that into my favorite question to ask guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Oh my gosh. I mean, there were so many great theater memories, you know, because like I said, well, Hello Dolly was definitely one of them. I remember like getting my church group to save money to go see the Yul Brynner and the King and I when it came through and everything. And I remember when they very first started doing those giveaways, you would get in line beforehand and get the $20 tickets, they pulled the lottery. And I got to go see Rent on the first row center stage and just sat there and cried the whole time. You know, it was just all, there were so many of them. And, you know, it can still go on. Just recently, I've been able to go see some shows I'd never seen on stage before. And me and my boyfriend went out towards Napa Way, and they had like a community theater there. And we went and saw Torch Song Trilogy. It was the new version that they retooled called Torch Song. But, you know, number one, he had never seen anything like that. And I hadn't seen the play before. And just to be sitting there in that little small theater with that stage so close up to you, and you're sitting there and that whole ending comes up with the mom and the son are having this confrontation, you feel like you're actually eavesdropping on them. And it's so personal and it's so amazing. It just takes you away. And so recently, that's the one that blew me away, because it was a fantastic production of that show. And the person that performed Arnold was fantastic, and the mother, everybody. It was just such a good show. But, you know, it's interesting how you never know where it's going to be that's going to take you away. It could be a big Broadway show, or it could be, you know, going to see a little thing out in Napa where in a community theater. But that's, again, the magic of theater.
Amen to that. Amen. Those are wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing those. Those are
fabulous. Oh, my pleasure.
As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do you have any other productions or projects coming on the pipeline we might be able to plug for you?
You know, here in San Francisco, I'm doing lots of stuff. In New York, not so much, except in, you know, going to be a lovely tourist the time that I'm not performing myself. But, you know, we as the Cockettes, Nouveau, I believe a lot, at least for me especially, it's about getting the word out. And so we're looking at yonder goals and fields. And right now we're talking with people in London, and I'm still trying to get the people's attention at Sydney Pride, but they keep on partying too hard, so it's hard to get their attention. But, you know, we're just thinking about different Pride events in different areas of the world that we want to take it. I have connections in Texas, Austin, maybe South by Southwest, and this, that, and the other. And of course, we'd love to come back to New York. and make it a regular thing. But it's about getting the word out there. You know, I always have this, and I'm starting to play in my head this idea about doing a Broadway show about the beginning of the Cockettes and having it being the very first night and having it all being kind of like the Muppet Show, where it's on stage and backstage at the same time. But you know, that's all in my head too. So you know, we're just making plans and really just excited about going to New York, and that's kind of where we're putting a lot of our energy. But yes, there's lots of plotting and planning going on.
I can't wait to see where the Cockettes go next. They're going global. This is amazing. A great reason for our final question, which of course is, if our listeners would like more information about the Cockettes Nouveau in Dirt, Sex, Passion, or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Well, the best way to follow the Cockettes Nouveau is on Instagram at Cockettes Nouveau, one word. If they want to follow my exploits and everything that I'm doing, because I also do stuff for the cannabis industry here in San Francisco. I produce and create and run this Bongo Bingo, Drag Cannabis Bingo. I'm always coming up with new kind of shows to do. You mix the drag and the bingo and the shows. It's in the weed. But you can follow me at DJ Dank SF, because that's my moniker. My moniker here in San Francisco is DJ Dank. You can follow me at Dan Karkoska, Karkoska, on Facebook. And yeah, that's the best way to follow us.
Wonderful. Well, Dan, it is always so wonderful to get to speak with you, especially when we get to talk about the Cockettes. So this has been totally so wonderful. I am so excited about this. You better believe that I will be there with bells ringing, losing my mind. So thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Well, thank you for giving me a call and let me chat. It's been really fun. It's gone so quickly. I can talk.
My guest today has been an incredible artist, the producer Dan Karkoska, who joined us to talk about the Cockettes and the Cockettes Nouveau in their upcoming show, Dirt, Sex, Passion. Two shows only. This is happening Sunday, October 6th at 6 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. at Joe's Pub. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting publictheater.org. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting in our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But you better head over to publictheater.org now. Get your tickets. They're going to go. They are going
fast.
And you do not want to miss this. I know I'm going to be there. So let's make it a Stage Whisper Nat out of the theater. Again, the show is the Cockettes Nouveau in Dirt, Sex, Passion, happening Sunday, October 6th at 6 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. And we want to add for our American listeners that Election Day is November 5th. Make sure you are registered to vote, have a plan to cast your ballot, and do your democratic duty. You can find out how and where you can register and vote by visiting vote.gov. The future demands that we fight for it now. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.